we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
The News Quiz. We start with a story from the BBC News website read by Chris Aldridge.
A prisoner is on the run after escaping police custody while being treated in hospital. Scott King fled officers at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Gateshead after earlier being detained at Washington Police Station. He is wearing a green top, blue jogging bottoms, black trainers, and has silver handcuffs on his wrists.
And our thanks to Richard Mansey for spotting that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Kevin Day. And opposite them on my left, Justin Edwards and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, who was behind an absolutely darling little idea?
Well, what a turnaround. Yeah. What a turnaround. This, of course, is Gordon, oh, what the heck, it's only Money Brown. Who seems to have banished poor Prudence to the whorehouse and start lashing out tax concessions everywhere. And the reason he's able to do this, of course, is he was quite fortunate because a few weeks ago, Alistair Darling was asked if he could restructure our tax system to help the people who've been penalised by the removal of the 10p rate. And Alistair Darling said categorically that he couldn't do anything because there was absolutely no money in the pot for him to play with. But last week, luckily, as it happened, the Treasury got left a lot of money by its auntie. £2.7 billion of money we didn't know we had. Because we didn't know we didn't have it because we didn't have it. We got to borrow it and then we'll have to pay it all back in tax, but never mind. And this is all against the backdrop of an appalling picture of the economy, which was spelt out by the Governor of the Bank of England.
He's a cheery fellow, isn't he?
Mervyn King. What a great name, Mervyn. It's like a wizard with a cold. And but what I love is under the terms of the independence of the Bank of England, if inflation rises above the government target, he is obliged to write the Prime Minister a letter.
What?
Just telling him.
Ticking off.
Yeah, well, no, informing him. I mean, you kind of think, surely the Prime Minister will find out eventually. About
Does the Bank of England charge £30 for a letter like that?
Probably.
Does Gordon Brown, he couldn't be more unpopular if he presented the mini-budget for the basement in Austria punching a kitten full in the face, could he?
A lot about economics, though, trying to read up on the story, because he came out this line, he said, I'm afraid the nice decade is over. And I thought, well, that's a rather pathetic vernacular thing to say. But then it turned out that NICE is an economist's acronym. It's non-inflationary consistent expansion. So the nice decade is over. And apparently now we're heading for the shrinking high inflation turbulence decade. Which we... I mean, it's a cycle.
They can't have NICE, though, because that's already the National Institute of Clinical Excellence, isn't it?
Yeah, and bad biscuits.
And bad biscuits. And a town in the south of France. They could replace the tax and benefit system with a table with some homegrown strawberries and some free-range eggs and a little sort of basket full of money and then an honesty tray for people to put their taxes in, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Because it would be easier. It'd probably level out, because people aren't innately greedy. Once you know that you can take strawberries from the side of the road without paying, once you've done it once, or three or four times, you think, no, I think I'll start paying now. And it would level out, and I think people would only take what they wanted.
There's an easy answer to Britain's economic ills. There's a two-word answer, Roman Abramovich. If you could persuade Roman Abramovich to buy... It couldn't be that hard to persuade him to buy the United Kingdom, could it? he could buy it for his daughter for Christmas. It'd be...
Bring in some foreign politicians.
Exactly. It'd be the country's fortunes transformed.
Well, once we'd had the survey done, it'd want a lot knocked off, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a bad time to buy a country, really, isn't it?
That's true. If you're a first-time buyer, it's hard to get on. Hard to get on the country ladder.
A couple of months. Might start with Belgium. See what happens.
Yeah, because you can always let it out.
Chancellor Alistair Darling has announced over £2 billion in tax cuts to compensate those who lost out when the 10 pence tax rate was scrapped. It's part of the emergency plan to make Gordon Brown popular. about as likely to succeed as making the Queen smile in slippers and a headscarf, isn't it? Kevin, who says they've been putting ideas in the Prime Minister's head?
Ah, yes, this is the Tory party worrying about the continuing crime wave because Gordon's nicked their policies because they saw Gordon walking down the street with a transparent folder that had a piece of paper in it saying Tory policies. And a picture of a toff kicking a pensioner.
Actually, there were some good statements because David Cameron suggested that Labour should send a shorthand typist to the Tory conference to steal their ideas. And you think, oh, thank God, the Conservatives are well up on the latest office technology.
Well, I like the idea that David Cameron said they've stolen a big idea of unlocking social mobility. I was only saying to the other parents at Eton Evening the other day.
If the Tories are upset that Labour's nicking their policies, imagine how the rest of us feel.
But do you think if they listen to this programme, they might steal Jeremy's table of eggs and strawberries? Because if that happens next, if I see Gordon Brown with a little honesty basket and some strawberries and eggs, you'll be around there, livid.
Yeah. He's such a control freak that you could imagine that if we were going to sell the country, he would put the for sale sign up himself and have his own phone number. He's not going through some bloody agent, you could just imagine.
Well, if we sold it, we could take all the stuff, couldn't we? And just leave Abramovich with just the walls.
Right, well, those mean people who sell a place and then take the light bulbs
and the
toilet
paper. Yeah, we could
paper.
Take all the carpets and the fridge and everything.
Just leave in Norwich.
Yeah.
As part of the strategy to win back the public's trust in him, Gordon Brown... All of it makes you chuckle, has unveiled a raft of new measures in his draft Queen's speech, which the Tories claim was stolen from them. Tax the poor, pander to Daily Mail readers. I'd say Cameron has a fair point, actually. 2 points to Kevin. Justin, who accidentally showed the whole country her briefs?
In fact, Kevin mentioned earlier Caroline Flint, who is the most glamorous member of the Cabinet, apparently. That amazing, hotly contested title. The second is Des Brown. Caroline Flint was leaving Number 10 and journalists were trying to take pictures of her legs, and inadvertently she had open a document which revealed some Cabinet briefing notes that she just left giving a briefing to Cabinet, holding in plain view. Well, as long as you have a powerful camera on you that can zoom in and enlarge them, as all the newspapers did. And basically their meeting, she said, yes, house prices are going to drop by 10%, yes, the house building programme is stalling, and the cheerful phrase, we can't know how bad it will get. She then denied all of this, but later on, further on down the paper, she had the phrase, we are continuing to monitor the situation and take appropriate action, which is the kind of thing when I briefly worked in offices and had to do meet, that's kind of you just put in halfway down to make it a full page. And it doesn't really, you know, we are continuing to monitor the situation. So
the right-wing press did make a great deal of this folder there. They were saying, a skimpy, see-through folder carried by unmarried or sexy 46-year-old Miss Flint.
She wasn't the only minister to get called out, like, because Hazel Blears did the same thing. So I think, clearly, we've got to give Gordon Brown credit. He promised open government. And he's clearly instructed ministers to hold all confidential documents face up so they can be photographed. What I loved about the Caroline Flint one as well was underlined at the bottom, it said, we should be on the side of the people. And I thought, you really shouldn't have to write that down.
Housing Minister Caroline Flint accidentally revealed the government's housing figures when a memo she was holding was photographed as she walked to a cabinet meeting. Miss Flint has played down the blunder. The fact is, this note simply reflects what external analysts have said publicly. They are not government predictions, and that's absolutely true. The actual government predictions are on a disc in a currently unknown location. 2 points to Justin. Jeremy, who should be charged with wasting their own time?
Is this West Midlands Police?
It is police.
Ah, well... They have a long record of getting things very badly wrong, of course, the West Midlands Police. But this was a weird one. Channel 4 made a documentary about a serious subject, not something they usually do. Most of their documentaries along the lines of, oh, look at this bugger, he's got athlete's face. But for once, they thought, let's tackle a serious subject, and they tackled prejudice by extreme preachers in certain mosques in Birmingham. And some of these preachers were saying virulently homophobic, anti-Semitic and sexist things. And the Plod, the Babylon in the West Midlands, were supposed to investigate the preachers with the possibility of prosecuting them, got confused and thought that they were supposed to prosecute the programme for using colour television in a built-up area or something. And they tried to... They investigated the programme saying that these things have been taken out of context, because apparently some of the preachers were saying, look, it's not me saying it, it's in the book, you know what I mean? It's not me saying we should throw them off a mountain, it's in the scriptures. You know, it's, but saying anyone should be thrown off a mountain suggests you know very little about the topography of the West Midlands. They said that it should be thrown off the Bullring, or that I shouldn't.
I didn't understand that, because it was a preacher who said homosexuals should be thrown off a mountain, and I thought, how would you entice a homosexual up a mountain? I think he might get suspicious, even if you offered to toss him off, I think it's...
Channel 4 can't believe their luck, can they? Someone's got to apologise to us. It's fantastic.
Because they're so... It's such a serious channel, isn't it, Channel 4? I mean, all the wonderful programmes they make, like How to Look Good Naked, Put Some Clothes On. I mean, how low they've sunk, I mean...
I did watch Half Ton Dad last night, though.
Half Ton Dad?
Anyone else see that? It was incredible. It made me feel quite thin.
Let me guess. Is it about a dad who's very heavy?
Yes, he weighs half a tonne.
And was the conclusion of this investigative report that he's possibly overweight?
Yes.
Searing they... investigative reporting from Channel 4.
Yes, no, they recommended a diet.
Police and prosecutors have had to pay Channel 4 a six-figure sum after they wrongly accused the broadcaster of faking a television expose of extremist preachers. The police investigated the clerics, but after getting nowhere, asked prosecutors if they could charge Channel 4 with stirring up racial hatred instead. I love the way policing works these days. Oh, sorry, love, we couldn't find your attacker, so instead we're going to charge you with bleeding on your own upholstery. Fantastic. So 2 points there to Jeremy. And at the end of round one, Andy and Kevin have got 4 points, but so have Justin and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Isle of Wight Council and Community News.
Four new eco-loos are to be constructed at Brading, Yaveland, Ventnor and Wootton. The new public conveniences have features including power generation by wind.
And our thanks to Patricia Thompson, who sent us that. I just realised, this is a really ridiculous thing, but I've forgotten to wear my watch. Can I borrow your watch? Because I have to keep an eye so that we don't all stay here for the rest of our lives.
Don't fall for that, Chris. She's a... Her home is full of newsreaders' watches. Yeah.
Tell you what, Peter Donaldson's Rolex turned out very well. Tell me, what a bizarre watch. It's a map of South America.
It's a freebie that Mum and Dad got for crossing the equator.
Told you it was free.
How desperate were they to get away? Right, OK.
And that's the present that you got?
Yeah.
Along with a sewing kit and a very small bottle of shampoo.
Right, Kevin, who has been... Oh, dear. Who has been speaking for herself?
This is, I imagine, Cherie Blair. It's one of a spate of memoirs that's come out recently.
Yeah.
Cherie Blair, Prescott, and I can't remember Monday. So how they can remember 20 whole years of their life is completely beyond me. I just
they write it down, Kevin.
But not every day.
That's a good
really?
Point.
With some kind of writing implement?
Some kind of diary.
Well, it's obviously, they serialise these things at times. I did like one description. It said, Cherie Blair's book, Inside Number 10 from the Horse's Mouth, which I thought was a good one. It's just... She revealed that she thinks her son Leo was conceived at Balmoral. Right, and I'm sure her son's delighted at this, because she was too embarrassed to pack contraceptives.
Equipment,
is that what it was? Mm. They didn't want to have them under the Queen's roof. Mm. So nature took its course, by which I presume it meant she ate her young and slept for the winter. But so, imagine Leo's going to read that. You might as well say to your son, look, son, if we'd been somewhere else that weekend, you wouldn't be here. It's like, is it really... And also, I just like the idea that you're so embarrassed to have sex in the same house as the Queen, in case the Queen's with her curlers and a cup listening to the wall.
They're at it again, Philip. They're doing it again.
Surely the word is contraceptive. It's not contraceptive equipment. Well. What the hell is that? Is that...
It involves metal.
Metal and springs.
Oh, I had a mental image... Do you know what I had? A mental image of one of those boxing gloves that leaps out on a spring.
And also, I mean, that implies the Queen is going to go through their bags looking for company.
People do. They have,
the
they have
not
servants.
The Queen.
No, the servants.
Who's Johnny's?
She went there before... hurling water balloons out of the window onto the princes underneath. But she had gone out for a dinner or something with the Queen, came back, and it turned out the servants, because they do this, which is really rude, they go through your stuff, apparently, and they unpack it all for you. Mm. And she puts up with this, and she's supposed to be a human rights lawyer, and she's supposed to be a Scouser. And not once did she corner the Queen and say, "Hey, Fritz, don't let your flunkies stick their noses in my diaphragm, all right?"
What kind of contraceptive equipment is she embarrassed about? What has she got? Some priest in a bag who shouts, "Tony, withdraw!"
Also, it's got to be a... if it is a contraceptive, it's a contraceptive that's too big to get in a pocket. I mean, that
well, like a picture of John Prescott eating a doner kebab.
We could have got the priest to shout the same thing over the Iraq War. "Tony, withdraw!"
Well, one of the stories was worse than that, because she said the first time her and Tony basically copped off was upstairs on a bus, and she said, "And let's just say by the end of the bus ride, we knew each other a lot better than we had done before." And what are you saying? Tongues, hands down, pants, what?
I don't even want to think about it. I still have nightmares from Blunkett's memoirs. It's just...
They had sex on... Can you imagine Tony Blair's face in that convex mirror at the front of the bus?
Room for one more on top.
Perhaps that is their contraceptive equipment, is a Routemaster.
Cherie Blair has been lifting the lid on her time as... I don't know, what do you call it in this country? Is she First Lady? Does she get to be First Lady or Mrs. PM? Or
I think she was probably Blair's First Lady, yeah.
She's been lifting the lid on her time as First Lady with the serialisation of her memoirs, Speaking for Myself. This week, Mrs. Blair is the latest in a line of people wishing to put the boot into Gordon Brown, John Prescott, Lord Levy, the entire electorate of the British Isles.
Is the collective noun for a whole lot of political diaries published at once a diarrhoea?
2 points to Kevin. Justin, whose show of solidarity was below par?
George Bush is extraordinary. I mean, he's not unknown for making idiotic statements, but he's out of solidarity with those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in Iraq. George Bush has given up playing golf. It's quite true. She said, "I don't want someone whose son has died in the battlefield recently to see the commander-in-chief playing golf." So, I mean, well done him for the ultimate sacrifice there. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it? That I can only assume his advisors left him alone for 2 minutes. "Don't say anything, George. I'm just going for a wing. I won't say a word." And they come back in and go, "You said what? You said you're giving up golf for your offer. You tit." But it's just, it is quite breathtaking. You think, well, clearly it's not the Gulf that we're offended by. It's more the starting of wars. And if you know, you should refrain from other activities that offend soldiers' families. Like speaking, making decisions. But that's his version of an acceptable public statement. And you wonder, what does he say in private when he's not being fettered? You know, kind of, "John Wayne was French. I live in a piano." It's time for bed, Mr. Bush. Yeah. But he's given up, yeah. I don't know what else he'd given up, you know, things for
ketchup.
Yeah, given up ketchup
the
for
Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
Because
yeah,
it looks like blood.
Yeah. To be fair, he did preface this statement.
He hasn't given up ketchup, has he?
Yeah, it wasn't all his. He did preface the statement by saying, I pondered to myself what I could do to stop these boys from hurting. Stop the war, you bloody idiot. Not stop the golf. Maybe the bunkers were giving him flashbacks.
Or maybe he thinks that Iraq is in the Gulf. Yeah.
George Bush, the caring, sharing president of the United States, said in order to show solidarity with the soldiers in Iraq, he's decided to give up playing golf. He didn't say whether the ban extends to crazy golf. Bush isn't alone in a show of solidarity for our boys. Cherie Blair herself has given up common decency. Contraceptive equipment. Right. At the end of round two, Andy and Kevin have got 8 points, but so have Justin and Jeremy. It's a tie. Before we start round three, here is a for sale note spotted in Linlithgow, Sainsbury's.
Bouncy castle, 12 feet by 13, with electric fan blower. Marital breakup forces sale.
And our thanks to Paul Streeter for sending us that. Andy, why is it knit one, pearl one, exterminate one?
Oh, it's one of these daft stories. The BBC used to be a really kind of lovable, cosy little organisation, but now there are elements in the BBC that think it's Disney or...
God sees him!
or or the Death Star or something. And this is somebody at the BBC, head of tunnel vision or something, said there were some ladies who were knitting little figures that were based on Doctor Who creatures, and I think they were selling them to their mates over the internet, and the BBC legal department sort of warned them off and said, no, you're breaching copyright.
No one knows what her real name is. Her name is Maz Mataz. That's her website name, Maz Mataz, because she says it makes it sound smart. Well, I suspect her name might well be Marion Mataz. But she said, I love this, one of my favourite quotes of the week. She said, I like knitting and sci-fi. No news of her marital status yet.
But it's some rubbish. My nephews are big Doctor Who fans, and they always get Doctor Who toys and presents for Christmas off me. If I gave them a knitted Dalek, they'd think, you know, what does that do? It doesn't exterminate. You know, it's going to heat up some scones and read you Wind in the Willows. The mole had been working hard all morning. And the...
But you don't have this for other BBC programmes. You have sort of a macrame Hugh Edwards, I think it'd be rather nice.
Oh, no, those are mostly voodoo dolls. Are they? What about news quiz dolls?
We have action figures made of us, like you get for films. We could have that done, couldn't we? I'm sure people would want to collect them.
It'd be marvellous. Andy's could be life-size.
I've suggested an idea.
Yet again, I can't believe Sandy Toxford.
A Doctor Who fan who created knitting patterns of the show's villains and gave them away online has been told by the BBC to stop or face legal action. A spokesman for the BBC said they did not want to prosecute licence fee payers, but now that they can't collect money from faked phone-ins, they've got to find extra revenue from somewhere. Jeremy, who has done some lazy research this week?
It turns out that sloths are not lazy at all.
Oh.
They're not frisky, to be fair, but in the wild, they sleep for only 9.5 hours a day, which I'd say is a bare minimum, really. Thatcher slept for 4. I think that says plenty about people who don't need enough sleep. Most harm is done by people who are awake. If you are asleep, you are unlikely... You know, leopards do not savage aardvarks, or whatever they do, antelope, during a nap. They're usually fully alert.
Yeah, but a sleeping bus driver would do a bit of damage.
But researchers have worked out that the reason that sloths that they've been looking at are considered so slothful is that they are in zoos where there is nothing much for them to do. And they've also noticed that birds in cages don't fly so far and that chimps in the wild don't wear clothes or make tea. So you go to the zoo to see the animals live up to their stereotype. You want your sloths to sleep most of the day. You want your meerkats on their hind legs looking cute. And you want your otters frisking around doing things with fish and making funny squeaking noises, don't you? You don't want to go and see a sloth doing the Donald O'Connor make 'em dance routine from Singing in the Rain. Was it Singing in the Rain?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't want to see that, do you? You want them asleep.
It's terrible news for the stereotype industry and for lazy comedy writers. If it turns out the Germans have a sense of humour and lesbians don't smoke pipes, we're all in trouble.
This story made me very angry because it struck me that the sloths have been the victims of decades of ignorance. And I've, in my professional life, I've been victim of the same kind of ignorance, the kind of people who cannot distinguish between sleeping and thinking with your eyes closed.
But you know, even though you're saying it's because they're in prison, basically, because they're in... I mean, you're saying if they gave them a loft apartment and a Nintendo Wii, they'd be fantastic sloths.
When they're out in the wild, yeah, they're happy-go-lucky, frisky, energetic people who take lots of ginseng. Well, they're not people. Animals aren't people. It's important to bear that in mind. But,
but
it's because they're bored. The less you have to do it... See, when I used to sign on, I signed on once a month, every fourth Wednesday. And when that Wednesday would come round that month, I'd wake up and go, oh, no. Oh, it's today, isn't it? Oh, God. Oh, will it never end? And the less you have to do, the more torpid you get.
Yeah, but even in the wild, right, so let's turn green because algae grows on them. And I mean, if you can't outrun...
You turn green if algae grew on you.
Yeah, but how slow must you be if you can't outrun algae?
It's deceptive. Algae's deceptive. It's like when the sun's behind a cloud and you're indoors with your coat on, you can still burn because it's deceptive. That's what my mum used to say.
scientists have discovered that the sloth's reputation for sloth is unfounded, as the sloth spends far less time asleep and inactive than has previously been presumed. Researchers tagged the sloths electronically. That's got to be the easiest job.
Why do they tag them? Is it for antisocial behaviour?
Yeah, I believe so. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hamilton.
This is from Paul Dietz, and it is from the in-flight magazine of Aeroflot. It says, "Attention, please, passengers travelling to Japan. According to new requirements of the Japanese Air Authorities, conditions of immigration control upon arrival will be changed since November 2007. All foreigners will have to leave their fingerprints and be shot while passing immigration control."
Kevin.
Actually, there's a similar thing, and this one is sent in by Naomi Kitchen in Birmingham, and it's from her local primary school newsletter. And it says, on a lighter note, those of you who heard from some of the children that a masked man entered the house in the road carrying a gun on Wednesday will be relieved to know that one of our neighbours was having electrical or damp-proofing installation work done on the house. So the man concerned was, in fact, carrying a large drill. The shouts, shoots and screams were purely imaginary.
Justin.
This is from David Charnley in Ross-shire, from the Scotsman newspaper, in their supplement, The Scotsman Debates and What We Stand For. Annabel Goldie, the leader of the Scottish Conservative Party, is quoted as saying, "For many, the day does not start properly without a Scotsman on the breakfast table."
Jeremy.
This allegedly is from the Daily Telegraph Personals column, and it was sent in by Tom Sawford. Male model, mid-50s, unbelievably youthful, beautiful body, country cottage, log fires, fantastic cook, seeks gorgeous girlfriend to help him overcome low self-esteem and confidence issues.
Now, I've got a slight problem with the final score because Andy and Kevin have got 12 points, but so have Justin and Jeremy. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a tie-break, OK? So, now, we couldn't afford buzzers, so if you think you know the answer, could you just say buzz? OK. And, Chris, you can decide who said buzz first. OK, that's how we do it. In The Sun newspaper...
Buzz.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, no, I was testing my buzzer.
Oh, fine.
That's what you do on panel shows,
yeah, no,
isn't
it? Fair.
You test your buzzer.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I hadn't thought that through.
Does Andy get a point now?
Yes, and the winner is... Andy and Kevin are this week's winners. Let's just see if we can answer the question there. In The Sun this week, did Peter, 21, from Essex, approve or disapprove of Sir Alan Sugar's ideas for mending broken Britain?
Buzz.
Yes.
Approved.
Absolutely right. She backed them.
Why did you buzz so early?
See, he blew it.
It's my old problem.
Peter said he's right. I'm not sure this new buzzing thing is going to work. All that because he got a point for buzzing early and you've just got a point for getting it right. So the final score is that Annie and Kevin have got 13, but so have Justin and Jeremy. Before we leave you, here's a programme listing from the BBC podcast directory sent in by Kevin Savage.
Scotland's Funny Bits. The funny bits from the last week on BBC Radio Scotland. Typical duration, 3 minutes.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Kevin Day, Justin Edwards and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Chris Aldridge. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, James Sherwood and Daniel Ward, with additional material by Nick Alderton, Stephen Carlin and Layla Johnston. The producer was Ed Morrish.